Come and join the gathering on Equilarium FM for inspired conversation and guidance to lighten and brighten your day. Claire Johnson has gatherings around her kitchen table with a group of interesting and vibrant guests who are professionals from all fields of the healing arts. Real people integrating spirituality into everyday reality. Laughter and joy are two of the main dishes served at her table. And now, here is your host, Claire Johnson, raising vibrations across the nations, inspiring you to become all that you can be.
Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's show. This week, from around my kitchen table, I'll be discussing how we can best prepare to leave this magenta year of transformation and release and leap forward into the golden year of 2016 with my dear friend and very special guest, Haroon Rabbani. Haroon is an award-winning trainer, mentor and broadcaster who has a wealth of experience and wisdom to share with us about creating the kind of life we truly wish for most in the new year and beyond. How moving from living in our heads to living in our hearts is the golden key. How it allows us to become better masters and designers of our own destiny and to better enable us to attract the most favourable situations, circumstances and relationships we desire for our romantic lives, our health, our wealth and our general happiness. So, welcome Haroon.
Thank you very much, Claire, for having me on your show.
It's an absolute pleasure. So here we are at the pinnacle of 2015, and what a year that's been. How's it been for you?
Wow, it's been one of the most biggest roller coaster rides, I have to say, on so many different levels, in terms of business, in terms of relationships, both romantic and my family, home, you name it. I don't think there was a single button not being pressed. It's also been one of the greatest years of my life. So, you know, I'm totally and utterly blessed and grateful for it.
Oh, well done. Because I think a lot of people have been experienced the black, sticky, tar, treacliness of this year. It's been quite hard work to get through a lot of the emotional peaks and troughs that have been happening. I mean, we've had a massive amount of astrological stuff happening, you know, with these incredible events in the cosmos, which, no, you know, of course, that reflects back down in our everyday lives. But for the man in the street, you know, it just seems that we've been met with one challenge after another. Is that the general story that you've been met with?
I think it's definitely the case that if somebody's not fully aware of everything that's going on, then they will notice the challenges more than all the good stuff as well. Because you know what? They both come in equal amounts.
Yeah.
The secret is to recognize that they come in equal amounts, and they come, you know, all the time. But unfortunately, because of all sorts of reasons, primarily fear-based conditioning and survival-based conditioning since childhood, most people tend to recognize the negative stuff in their life far more, and they pay that attention to that far more, and guess what, they get more.
Yeah,
of.
it's true. Yeah. As you know, as we all know from The Secret, what you think about you bring about, and you lie there awake at night, you know, pondering your problems, and then guess what, you wake up in the morning and you're faced with more of them. I mean, what we ought to try and do is learn to lie in bed and count your blessings, count your achievements, and praise yourself for how you are coping. But, you know, this isn't how we're brought up. As you say, this isn't conditioned into us. And somehow it's much easier to accept criticism and believe it and then blame yourself for, oh, I could have done better. I could have done, you know, instead of supporting yourself. So I think this is one thing at this end of the year, we need to look back and appreciate how far we've come. And in terms of not necessarily distance, because it's been quite a frustrating year for a lot of people, mm-hmm. That you haven't actually achieved as much, you haven't covered as much ground as you were hoping to in a forward direction. But when you can look back, you can see that actually we've gained a lot of height, we've gained altitude. So it's like we've been doing the zigzag up a mountainside. Mm-hmm. So we've got no view of where we were going. It's, you know, it's been quite arduous. But when you can stop right now at the end of the year and look back and you see it as maybe as the golden sunset of the year, And so it's all bathed in golden light, this warm, beautiful, beautiful, soft, comforting light that covers the whole expanse of where we've come this year. There's arduous bits and there's barren bits and there's bits that you can look back and think, ooh, back in March, that was a bit tricky. But from where we're standing now, it's just all bathed in this light that we've been through it. And now we're at this elevated level with which we can view it. Because the year's been about transformation through release. So we've had to do a lot of those windy, windy roads, which seemed really boring. And but has taught us a lot. When we get to this point, you can see, right, that was necessary to bring us to this point. But we need to take stock of that and give ourselves some self-praise and see, you know, we're actually doing really, really well. So then we can go into the new year, I think, with this sense of achievement rather than of frustration. That needs to be left behind.
I think, you know, one of the biggest issues is you mentioned the word achievement, and actually part of any kind of achievement isn't the final achievement, it's the actual journey.
Exactly.
And so I spent a lot of time in martial arts from the age of 14, and I trained 7 days a week, and occasionally I was forced to take a day off by my instructor, but I trained 4 hours a day, 6 hours a day, 4 hours a day in the middle of the week, and then 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours on the weekend. So that was my life. And what I found is when I started competing in martial arts, that I won many competitions, but I never learned anything from winning the competition. The stuff I learned, the competitions I learned from, were the ones that I actually lost the fight first round or second round or third round. They were the ones where I was able to go back to training and say, right, I need to tweak this technique that I'm doing. I've got to tweak this approach. I've got to tweak the way my thinking is, you know, rather than have stinking thinking. In other words, constantly being nervous about stuff and wondering what would happen if I lose. I needed to change my mindset. So the journey of life itself, you're born, you die. You come with nothing in your hands, no clothes on your back, and you go to the grave and you think you've got clothes on your back, but you go with nothing. So there's your achievement doesn't come at your deathbed. I mean, you go with nothing. So achievement isn't about the stuff.
No.
It's actually about the non-stuff. It's about
true.
The characteristics. It's about the legacy or the legend you leave behind. Yeah, so
I love that.
We have every single one. You know, we're so blessed, Claire. This is the first generation of humankind ever to be able to consciously evolve, meaning that this is as a species. I mean, you obviously had the Buddhas and the Buddhas and the Jesuses, etc. But generally, for the vast majority of human existence, up till maybe even 20 years ago, most people who evolved very randomly, in the sense that they would evolve half a percentage point over a lifetime. But now you can come from any background and you can evolve. And evolve doesn't mean you suddenly achieve stuff. Evolve means you grow, you become a wiser person, you have more impact, you have more influence on people's lives, you make a difference, you are able to make a massive difference to your lives. So we can now consciously evolve. So our children, the next generation, don't have to be exactly like us, you know, and stubborn and whatever, and not change. By evolving ourselves, by changing ourselves, we automatically change them.
Yeah, fantastic. And it's one of those things, like you're saying, it's about how we perceive our own success, how we perceive, just like you're saying, achievements, and how we set goals. You know, expectations for our children, expectations for ourselves. You know, the next generation and the ones coming below them, you know, they're very wise. They've come with their lights fully on, you know, so we can learn a lot from them. So this is also where we've got to turn around and stop thinking that we know it all because we're the older generations. You know, they are coming through more enlightened. So it's turning everything on your head, isn't it? And it's just like seeing that we're here to learn as much as to teach.
Mm.
You know, the next generation are phenomenal. And so we owe it to them, as you say, to evolve as quickly as we can so that we can prepare the ground and make it favourable for more people to awaken so that we can actually create a better world for the future. So part of that is about deciding how you're going to move in to the new year, isn't it? About how you're going to let go. How do we let go of the stuff we want to leave behind
in
2015?
You know, one thing about One of the things they talk about in the movie, The Secrets, is if whatever you think about, you bring about, which is all true, etc. However, the most important element of manifestation is the letting go process. It's to actually be able to release attachments. You know, the cause of all suffering is attachment to desire. And when we have this attachment to desire, meaning we want something, but we lust after it so much, we actually slow the manifestation process down. We even stop it at times.
Wow. That's something to think about, yeah. So it's very important in that case to master release, which this year has been about. This year has been about release. So yes. Within that becomes mastering forgiveness, because then you release yourself from all situations and circumstances where there's any blame, whether you're the perpetrator or you're the victim of situations. If you can release your attachment to them, mm-hmm. Then you're free to move on. And forgiveness is the quickest way to release yourself and all those involved. So that's been a major part of this year, I think, is learning to let go through forgiveness.
Absolutely. Totally and agree. And you know, when we hold a kind of like grudge or an upset towards another human being, be it parents or siblings or children or your beloved, when we hold that, we're actually doing damage to both sides. But here's the thing. I've had people over the years, because occasionally I'm controversial. Occasionally I'm not, so I'm going to be gentle on this show. Such a gentle person. So I remember a few years back, there's this guy who, this is back in 2010, who came to visit me at the center you're aware of, I used to work at, and he wanted to do meet up, and I showed him the center and I said, hey, if you want to ever hire the space, let me know, I'll help you out. And a year later, I'd finished writing my book. Now, this guy's supposed to be a spiritual teacher, and I want to talk about him after the break.
Exactly. Fantastic. Well, that would be really good. I look forward to hearing that.
All right.
So thank you very much. Stay with us.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Are you ready to shift your energy, consciousness, and limiting beliefs? Join me, Shefali Burns, every Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern on Shifting with Shefali here on OM Times Radio. Shift the blocks, limitations, and negative energies that have kept you from experiencing a life filled with joy, peace, love, abundance, and happiness. Are you ready to shift with Shefali? Are you ready to shine your brilliance?
Memoirs of the Bright Side of the Moon. A true story of love beckons you to remember the bright side. You will enter and discover another side of the Pink Floyd and share the return journey of an artist born to help humanity through creating beauty. Written by Ginger Gilmore. Available at angelscript.com. Today. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
So, welcome back. Before the break, Haroon, you were just about to tell us a wonderful story.
Yeah, no, I was saying that. So this is a gentleman, absolutely wonderful guy, and he teaches people how to spiritually evolve. So anyway, we finished our meeting, and then a year later I approached him and I wanted him to have a look at my book and if he liked it to endorse it. Couldn't get hold of him for love nor money, but then eventually I got through to him. And I won't mention his name. Picked up the phone and I called him from a different number, and he picked up the phone. Obviously, he didn't recognize the number. And I said, mentioned his name. Let's just call him Mike for now. Mike, is that you? Hey, hi, who's this? It's Haroon. How are you? And he was like a very blunt. And I said to him, are you upset for some reason? He goes, yeah, I'm angry with you. I said, really? I hadn't seen him in a year, by the way. I said, you're angry? Why are you angry? So I came to see you in the middle of the day at my workplace. And I came to see you, Haroon, and I thought we were going to just go for a beer like mates. Now, he and I weren't friends socially, and I don't drink beer. So it didn't quite make sense to me. So I said, so why are you angry about it? He says, well, I wanted to just chill out with you, and you try to sell me this space to hire. I said, no, I didn't. That's not where we make our money. I said, I'll help you if you want to hire it. I'll help to promote your event. But anyway, I'm sorry you were upset if that upset you. So you were angry for what? The last 12 months? Yes. Did you ever think about telling me this? No. Why didn't you tell me? Never got around to it. But you were angry with me all that time. I said, yes. I said, okay, please forgive me. So the reason I said, please forgive me, wasn't because I did wrong. I wanted him to release himself from this anger. But he'd been holding, it's like, it's been said before, it's like getting angry with someone, it's like drinking a bottle of poison, hoping the other person's going to die. I didn't know he was upset. So forgiveness is so critical, because most of the time I found that when people are upset with somebody else, the other person doesn't even have a clue. So getting upset with them isn't going to teach them a lesson. It's going to lower your vibration. It will contract your DNA, literally. It will age you. So you accelerate the aging process. It will reduce the power of your immune system. That means you're more susceptible to disease. You're going to reduce your creativity, so you're not going to be able to manifest as much. So why the hell would you want to be angry with anybody? And why would you want to hold a grudge? So forgiveness, that's a master key.
Fantastic. Well, I love that story. So yeah, exactly. So that takes very much in line with are you familiar with the Ho'oponopono?
Yes, I am.
The Hawaiian prayer. So I was talking about that last week, and that's such a brilliant thing to be doing at this time of year, to do this blanket releasing, as you say, this asking for forgiveness for everything that you're involved in, your part in anything. And it's not your part in being blamed. It's part of that oneness of being connected, as you say. So if that person is sitting there holding that anger for you, you know, you're sorry that you've caused anything for them to be feeling that. It doesn't mean that you're responsible for it, but you can do that blanket asking for forgiveness. And giving that forgiveness, you know, it's much easier to hold the person in your mind and to say to them, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you, than to actually meet one-to-one and do it. But if you do it enough times in the astral space, then you're projecting it and you're shifting that energy anyway. So you can do that to all the people you've had problems with throughout the year, and just release it so that you're ready to step forward into the new year as the most confident you know. So and you've got a lot of things that you can guide and help us with, haven't you, about how to move confidently forward. I know letting go, as you'd said, is a really big thing for you, but then about moving forward with confidence.
Well, the thing is, with a lot of people don't get things started. Say, for example, someone, and we're going to come on to this, I know, for example, someone wants to start a new job or a new business, or start a new relationship. I mean, you know, we've talked about relationships many times, you and I. Starting a new relationship, a lot of people have this thing that if I'm going to do this something new, I need confidence. And that is so incorrect, it's unreal. So where does confidence come from? Confidence comes from the head. It comes from the head because we have doubts. When you have doubts, you need confidence. So we think, well, actually, this is how it works. Confidence comes as a result of taking action. Confidence does not precede action. It comes as a result. Let me give you an example. So I mentioned martial arts. So the very first... Actually, let me talk about something else. Dating. Now, I'm in a relationship. Let's just say I was single. Now, a lot of people think, oh, I'm not going to ask this woman on a date. I'm not going to speak to this man or ask him on a date because apparently it's not the thing to do. So the man needs the confidence. I feel I don't have the confidence to ask a woman out to date. Well, the first thing is you don't need the confidence. What you need is a vision. And when I say a vision, if you like somebody you totally blown over by, you think, oh my God, I could really see myself going out with them, having fun, going out to dinner, cinemas, making love, whatever. You have that vision. Then the first thing to do is to pluck up the courage. Courage comes from the heart. It doesn't come from the head. And courage comes from within. So you don't pluck it like a grape. You pluck a grape off a vine. You pluck it from inside. You take the you pluck up the courage to live your vision by being committed to your vision. That's very important. You say, okay, you know what? This woman might say no, but I'm committed to seeing if I can take this to the next level. So you ask her, you pluck up the courage, you ask her on a date. And let's just say she says yes. Then you go on a date and it doesn't work. Guess what you've done? You've just developed a competence. You've developed a skill. Once you go back, you go to the next woman and you ask her to go out on a date. You go for a date. You may have had one or two dates. First of all, you've had the vision of having a relationship with this person. You've plucked up the courage to ask her out. You've asked her out. You're developing something very important called competence. I mentioned that already, a skill. The more you practice, the more confidence you develop. So if you were building, you know, if you're, I don't know, painting, you're an artist. If you are painting something, it's with your practice that you develop confidence. You never had the confidence to do it. You had the courage to do it. So the thing to share with people is this, that vision, a lot of people think vision is with their two eyes. Well, actually, it's not true. I forget their name now, the lady who was blind, philosopher, etc. She said that the real tragedy isn't someone being blind. This real tragedy is when someone has sight, as in they can see, but they have no vision. Vision comes from source, from divine, from external. You pull in the vision through your crown chakra, through your pineal gland, through your third eye. You pull in a vision and it gets given to you. You then take that vision, whatever that vision is, and I know you've got a phenomenal vision. You take that vision and you place it in your heart. When you place that vision in your heart, then courage automatically appears. And then by holding that vision in your heart, in other words, you live it, you sleep it, you think about it, you intend on it. When you operate from that space, the universe says to you, how may I serve you? And the universe, you constantly give this universe the answer of not necessarily how, but the reasons, enough reasons for, say, for example, you have equilibrium, which I'd love for you to discuss with us here. It's your show, I know, but... But I mean, when you talk with enough people about it, hey, this is my vision. This is the why behind it. People will know that this is coming from your heart. You will start attracting the people, the circumstances, the places, the finances to make it happen. And it happens for businesses. And it also happens for relationships. It also happens for any cause that you create. Think about any cause. Let's talk about, let's go extreme a bit. And I will go extreme. Think about Al-Qaeda. Now, Al-Qaeda, as negative as they are practicing a process which people like Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela, Gandhi, they all practice, which is they create a cause. A cause is not that something that comes from the head. It has to come from the heart. So when your vision of whatever it is you want, your relationship with your beloved, your soulmate, your relationship with this business or your relationship with the planet or nature, when you hold it in your heart, then you become a magnet. You have the attractive factor. You have the X factor to attract all the right people and the resources to make it come true. I know it to be true because I've done it so many times and I've worked with clients who've done it so many times and I've observed my teachers, my mentors, my students do it all the time as well.
Fantastic. I mean, I love the idea. I mean, you know, we're all about coming from the heart. And so the whole thing, as we were saying earlier on, is about not coming from your head. Your head is full of so many limiting ideas and beliefs that your friends and family tell you, that you've been grown with, teachers have told you, books have filled your head with. You know, when you're in doubt of, and confusion in your head, you need to drop into your heart, like you're saying. Because my equilibrium, when I start talking about it, literally, I get breathless. I'm so excited because it's coming from my heart. You know, I don't know with my head all the practicalities of how, where, what, why, when. I just trust in my heart that, oh my goodness, this is coming like a freight train because I have all my passion behind it. So the rest of it, the universe will have to just work out. Because if we get stuck with working out how to live your life, you just need to trust and let the universe, you know, let your life happen, and then you just allow your life to happen. But she said, but you've got to hold it in your heart to begin with. You get that vision, you get that trust. I love the idea, what you said, was that courage comes before confidence. So it's having a brave heart, isn't it?
Brave heart, absolutely. My God, we can have this conversation for hours, because I'm just thinking of all the millions of things we could be talking about, particularly at this time of year. Because releasing is really all about saying, you know what, enough's enough, I let go. And releasing can be pretty simple. For most people, it isn't, simply because they haven't actually released. It's a bit like someone who wants to quit cigarettes. The reason they haven't stopped smoking is simply because they haven't taken the decision. Decision means to cut off all options, all choices, bar one, and you stick with it. So when people want to really move forward, they have to, first of all, release all the stuff that's holding them back. So important. Socrates said it so well. I live and die by it, which is, he says, know yourself. And I love that. But I have this thing that, first of all, you find yourself, because most people don't even know who they are. Once you find yourself, you define yourself. This is who I choose to be. This is what I choose to be. And then you constantly tweak. And that's called refining yourself. So find yourself, define yourself, refine yourself. That is the epic journey of life.
Lovely. Now, what a vision to move forward to the new year with. Find yourself, define yourself, and refine yourself. Particularly right now, where we're poised, as we say, on this pinnacle between the old and the new, we get a chance to reinvent yourself for this exciting year ahead. So, yeah, let's all do that. Find ourselves, define ourselves, and refine ourselves into the greatest version of us that we can possibly be.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Dr. Kevin here, and I want to invite you every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to join me on the Dr. Kevin Show, where we have a diversity of guests who help you step outside the box, behind the curtain, and see what a load of crap is going on in the world today. So you have more information with which to make better decisions. We'll see you there. Namaste.
Memoirs of the Bright Side of the Moon. A true story of love beckons you to remember the bright side. You will enter and discover another side of the Pink Floyd and share the return journey of an artist born to help humanity through creating beauty. Written by Ginger Gilmore. Available at angelscript.com. Today. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hey ladies, do you want to have that good hair day feeling all the time? Gentlemen, would you want your special someone to have that glow, letting you know she's feeling completely satisfied? This feeling and that glow can be yours by embracing your sexual power. So join me, Rachel Kenley, award-winning romance author, on The O-Spot. The O-Spot will guide you to that peak with guest interviews, book discussions and conversations on the thrills of sexual empowerment. Put the zing back in your life. Come up and see me sometime on the O-Spot, live on Hump Day at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
So, welcome back. So, Haroon, that's, I absolutely love that. Find, define, refine. What a brilliant way to start the new year and to end the old year. So if you didn't like who you've been, it's a chance to rewrite it for yourself, rewrite the script, you know, create a better you for the year ahead. You know, be better. You know, set yourself better goals. In fact, we were talking earlier on about goal setting and New Year's resolutions.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, this is a topic. I remember BBC London asking me to join them for an interview on New Year's Day 2008. And they said, oh, well, we'll give you about 10 minutes on this whole resolution thing. I think it's about nearly about 1 hour, 45 minutes or 1.5 hours later, I left where the interview ended. it's a big area. Here's the problem with the resolution. So, you know, for those of you listening right now or those of you listening to replay, or here's the thing with resolutions. Resolutions means you're resolving a problem. You're coming from a space of that there is a problem. Now, in the world of consciousness and spirituality, actually, we're constantly evolving. And if we start seeing things from a place of problems, we come from a space of fear and lack. So instead of seeing it from as a problem, see it as an opportunity to create solutions. So what works instead? Oh, I just got to share this statistic. And this is official statistics, at least for the US, which is that 98% of all New Year's resolutions don't even last the year. Only 8% of people actually change any of their resolutions. 8%! Can you believe it? 8% of people. It's like saying, I'm going to make 10 resolutions. And how much is 8%? It's like less than one, is it? Less than one will actually come true. So I'm going to share with your listeners something that will really, really help them. Don't set resolutions. Set intentions. Now, an intention can be as simple as this is what I want to achieve or this is what I'd like to do. For example, my intention is, I used to be super fit. I'm not. I'm starting to develop a bit of a round belly. So I've already started working on it since yesterday. And my intention is to be fit, healthy, so not just physically fit, but in terms of food as well. Fit, healthy, well-defined physically this time, well-defined. But I don't necessarily have to have a six-pack. However, my intention is to be able to, in 3 months' time, to be able to have my six-pack back. So refining that, so we're constantly refining our intention to say, okay, I want six-pack by March 30th. So I'm being very specific with my timing. March 30th, I want my six-pack, and I want to be healthy, I want to be fit, and I want to have fun doing it. Because exercise can be very boring. So that's my specific intention. Why is intention so important? Well, people have heard of law of attraction and law of attachment and detachment and all sorts of universal spiritual laws. But there's one spiritual law which gels all the spiritual laws together. In other words, without this law, none of the rest work. It's called intention. And so if you listen to people like Dr. John D. Martini or any of these other great philosophers, they talk about, if you look at any matter, so if you look at an atom and you can go deeper and deeper and deeper, ultimately you get to the smallest possible matter particle. It's called a quark, which is like so, so super small. It's like, you know, it's almost impossible to see. Now, that only is 0.00001% of that is matter. And 99.9% recurring is pure energy, empty space. It's this space where intelligence and intention holds. It's in this space that Nassim Harriman, who's a friend and someone I've interviewed a couple of times now, says is where the mind of God resides. So let me explain the profound nature of what I've just said. When you set an intention, and I'll share with you very quickly the brief version of how to set an intention or how you know it's an intention. When you set an intention, then What you've done is you've told the universe, I have chosen this option. And then the universe conspires to make it happen. I've done this with money. I've done this with relationships. I've done this when I was playing around, not in relationships, but, at, you know, women. I've done this with business. I swear to you, it works so... I did it the other day with financing my media company because we're looking to do some significant growth. So how do you know something's intentional? It's not something that's in your head. It's something that you feel through your spine. You know, when you think about equilibrium, you get shivers down your spine. Well, that's an intention. When you just feel in your guts, you know with your heart that this is going to happen. Now, a lot of times what people do is they set an intention or a goal, I should say. And what they do is they have such attachment to that goal that they end up confusing the universal space. So a big secret is letting go. And another big secret is creating space between your thoughts. And you do that through meditation and visualization. So a real example is once upon a time, I used to sell medical equipment to hospitals, many hospitals. And I was one of the top salespeople. There was this one hospital. I could not get them to buy anything. Edith Cavell Hospital in Peterborough. And so what I did was, there's a new consultant, and I wanted him to try out this new piece of surgical equipment. I sat in my car, and I set an intention, and I spent 5 minutes visualizing the end results. I visualized the doctor with his face mask on, doing the surgical procedure, working away, and then I can see his smile, even though he had a mask on. I saw the nurses. I saw loads of all the staff having smiles, and the doctor saying to me, Haroon, thank you very much. This is exactly what I've been looking for. So after I've done the visualization, I then let go. I said, I won't say the words, but, you know, I just said, how can I say? Let's just forget it. Here you go. Forget being attached to the goal. So I released my attachment to the goal. I went into the hospital, got the equipment ready, and almost word for word, action by action, everything that I envisioned or visualized came true. After the operation was over, the surgeon came up to me and said, Haroon, this is exactly what I want. How do we order this? And they ordered, this hospital ordered, I think, a few hundred pounds a year. It's a hospital. They're supposed to order thousands, right? They ordered £25,000 worth of kit within a few weeks. It takes a few weeks to go through the bureaucracy. Massive cost.
Fantastic.
Simply by setting the intention, having the vision and having this expectation it's going to happen, so there's no doubt involved, there's no confidence required, and then letting go. In other words, if they didn't order, so what? I move on to the next customer.
Yeah. So we do this for the new year. You set out your intentions, not resolutions, because I completely agree with you. When I went to India many years ago, one of the biggest things I learned there was that there is no problem unless you make a problem.
Yes.
So I love that idea that if you're setting resolutions, you're already trying to solve a problem. So you're creating one. So set an intention. So even the wording of what you're doing comes from a positive place of empowerment. So if you're intending to do this. And I love the idea of, as you say, developing a vision. As you know, I have a very strong, passionate vision for Equilibrium. But I heard a talk very recently from the wonderful Michael Beckwith. And he said that the new challenge, which we should be doing, which is a fantastic idea for the new year, is to turn off the television and to tell a vision. Beautiful. It's what we used to do. People used to speak, they'd tell their story. And therefore, you're painting with words, as you say, like me with my canvas, you're painting with words the future you want to see, the one that you want to embrace. So you start in yourself, you find a vision and you have it, but then speak it out. So I love this idea that you tell a vision to other people. And he was saying that youngsters enjoy this even more than the older generations, that they really take to it like ducks to water, and they're happy to go off and telling their stories about what they want to happen. And this is how to make it happen, isn't it? Start believing it in yourself, and then it will start turning up in your real world.
Well, Muhammad Ali used to do that. He used to do that all the time. He used to tell his vision about a particular match to his opponents. He'd tell the world And you know what used to happen? He used to visualize, exactly how I said it, he used to visualize and spend hours, about 20 minutes, half an hour, every single day, envisioning the fight, round by round, punch by punch, ducking and weaving, bobbing and diving, you know, as he says, floating like a butterfly, staying like a bee. Yeah. So then, and he would visualize this. They'll tell his opponent. He'll say, I'm going to knock you out in round four. Well, round one comes, the opponent says, yeah, right. Round two comes, goes, yeah, right. Round three comes, he says, oh, my God, round four's around the corner. What if he does knock me out? He's already lost.
Yep.
He's lost that fight. And so Muhammad Ali used to call that creating a future history. And he won so many fights, even after being in prison for how many years, I don't know, for not going to Vietnam. He won fights, and he was asked by a journalist once, says, well, how do you do this? And he said, well, I create a future history. Well, what about the two fights that you lost? Typical journalist, not focusing on all the ones they won. What about the two that you lost? Oh, that's very simple. The two fights I lost, my opponents, they had a better future history than I did.
Ooh, nice. Yeah.
So if you want a relationship with somebody, you create a future history with them, meaning you go into the future and you create the history. You write the story as you wanted. And again, going back to John DeMartini, I love it. He says, we all have intentions. And the person, and if you take a whole bunch of people in a room with competing intention, he says, the person with the greatest vision, and remember I said holding the vision in the heart, the person with the greatest vision and certainty about their intention is the one who's going to rule the intentional field.
Nice.
How powerful is that?
So very powerful.
If you're in a business dynamic situation where you're in a sales meeting, you have that intention, that vision, as long as it serves everyone's highest purpose, let's just add that bit, as long as it serves everyone's highest purpose, you have that intention, that vision, then you are going to convert more people into customers.
Fantastic.
Every time. But there's only, you know, I see the world like this, our human life like this. We are godlike beings. I don't believe we're gods. I believe we're spiritual beings having this human experience. And our job is to be as godlike as we can. And when God thinks of something, it manifests. Our job is to get to this place of releasing as many doubts as we can so that we then become godlike. We think and it then becomes.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, I think God made man in his own image and he is the master creator. So, you know, be the master creator of your own life. Be the creator of a better world.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
The truth is, you can't change the world if you're broke. I know, I tried. Isn't it time you turned your life's calling into a profitable, freedom-based business? I'm Michelle Barr. Join me every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern for Sacred Success.
Memoirs of the Bright Side of the Moon, a true story of love, beckons you to remember the bright side. You will enter and discover another side of the Pink Floyd and share the return journey of an artist born to help humanity through creating beauty. Written by Ginger Gilmore. Available at angelscript.com today. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization. Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
If you've ever said, I do want it all. I do want happiness. I do want love. And I do desire the happily ever after fairy tale life, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, for my internationally acclaimed show, Bridal Talk Radio. every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, where I'll bring you the top experts in the fields of communication, money, relationships, finance, pleasure, play, travel, sexuality, parenting, real estate, adventure, comfort, care, passion, and love.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
So, welcome back. Haroon, that was fantastic what you were telling us. Really, really fantastic.
Thank you.
And I love the idea, as we're saying, that we are individual creators and that we're individuals, full stop. That we're part of the one unitedness, the one united heart, the united spirit of all life that is eternal, but that we are here uniquely as ourselves. So we have to take responsibility for how we want our lives to be. Instead of living as victims of our fate, we have to, you know, actively create what we want around us. And to support that idea, I have a wonderful piece of latest writing, which I'm going to read and share with everybody right now. And then, then we'll come back to you after I've read this. So if you'd like to take a few minutes to sit down comfortably and close your eyes if you can, obviously not if you're driving or operating heavy machinery, but just close your eyes and let these words settle. You have all got a great deal to be grateful for the gift of life on planet Earth is the most incredible gift of all. Your presence in the world is your gift to the world. Be the greatest present. Be the greatest you can be. Shine as brightly as can be and bring the glorious light of your life into the hearts and minds of your fellow mankind. Share your love. Share your hope. Share your wisdom. Share your grace. Share yourself. Be yourself. You came to be a unique individual. Now dare to be just that. No one else came to be you, so do not try to be anyone else. Do not try to be like them, better than them, lesser than them, or even equal to them, for you have come to be yourself. You are supposed to be you. And no one else can do what you have come to do, for only you are truly you. You are not here by accident. You are here by design. Your uniqueness is what is required as part of the greater plan. Decide what your life will be and design it and live it accordingly. Other people may have opinions and ideas of how or why or what or when, or how you should be or do or what you should say or anything at all. But they are merely trying to guide and provide you with direction as an interpretation of what they think or feel your life and actions could or should be. Be yourself. Be better than other people's expectations of you. Be kinder, more loving, more compassionate, and more understanding. Be brighter, more positive and creative, more tolerant and patient. Be the greatest you can be. Be grateful and be gracious. Release yourself from all the false limitations you have been fed and that fill your head. Drop into the fullness of your heart and swim free in the realm of possibility. Embrace every opportunity as a moment for expansion, for you to grow and go beyond everything you have previously known or believed. Set yourself free to be everything your heart and soul have come to be. You are an incredible being of pure love and light, a treasure to behold. May your gift to the world be your true greatness, which is waiting to unfold.
Wow. So amazing. I mean, I've heard this third time now, and each time I'm just blown away. Absolutely amazing. I think it's one of those things that the more you listen to a reading like that, the more profound the message becomes. So I recommend to listeners to rewind this bit back.
listen to that again. Well, I put the transcription of it up on my website, which is www.clairejohnson.eu, and it's on my latest writing page. And I will also post it on the Facebook page of Equilarium FM, so you can return to it and read it again and again. Because, you say, it's food for thought, and it's really empowering. So it's about believing in yourself. So, you know, which is something that you are really good at doing and instilling in other people, Harun. So would you like to share with us what you're doing recently, what you're doing for the future?
Oh, I tell you what, I mean, talk about intentions. You know, at the beginning of 2015, I had this vision I wanted to interview some of the world's best relationship experts, soulmate relationship experts. And so I thought, well, let me just ask. And I asked, and I got. So I got 25 of some of the world's best experts who've been there for the longest. I mean, number one, of course, is the gentleman who wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, Dr. John Gray. And so he was one of my guests. And after I interviewed him, he said, Harun, I absolutely love the interview. If I ever come to London, I want you to host an event for me. And I said, great. So we left it at that. A couple of months ago, and this is the first time I'm publicly announcing it, John Gray came back to me with his co-author of the brand new book called Conscious Men, Arjun Ada. He's the co-author. They approached me and said, would you host our European speaking tour, please, with Untangled Television? And I thought, oh my God.
Wow, how fantastic.
Now, here's the thing, though. I actually set the intention that I will do that. I just didn't tell anybody.
That's the power of intention.
That's the thing. If you have enough certainty and vision, you don't need to tell the world.
No.
You don't have to brag about it. I still feel humbled. Don't get me wrong. I'm totally humbled. So that's a massive, massive undertaking as well. And we're launching a relationship site as well. The other thing is, of course, I'm very big on entrepreneurship because I believe the greatest changes to the world are going to come from entrepreneurs, not from politicians, as we know, not from governments, not from charities as good intentions as they have, because they're always running around with a begging bowl, unfortunately. But actually from entrepreneurs, if you look at China, for example, now the United Nations set a Millennium Development Goal to eradicate poverty. So what they did was that they set this up. They didn't get that far. But what China did was, since the 1990s, entrepreneurs lifted half a billion, that's 500 million people, out of poverty through entrepreneurship. So I'm a firm believer that if you can make a difference to the people and the planet, then why shouldn't you be rewarded with profits? So I'm doing a lot of stuff with entrepreneurs. So, you know, people can get in touch with me if they want to find out more. And also, a couple of years ago, I had to go through my own healing experience. It was like I just ended a relationship myself. And I was really heartbroken, but more so for the fact that I kept having the same old thing. You know, I was asking myself, what's the common theme between all these women who are coming into my life, breaking my heart the same way, ending things the same way? What's the common theme? And I thought, oh my God, I'm the common theme. So as soon as I realized that, I started working as psychologists, healers and therapists and all sorts of people, found some good stuff, some weren't so great, and I developed a process which is called heart energy activation. So what I'm doing a lot of, and I started working with people two years ago, working with people in relationship challenges, people with health challenges, a lot of women with men as well, but women who were approaching me who had been sexually abused or gang raped and stuff like that. People with cancer have come to me. And I don't proclaim to heal anything, by the way, especially as I mentioned the C word just there. But what I do is I help them to go to the cause of why they suffer the way they suffer. You get to the cause, you can rapidly eliminate most of the problems. That includes money. So I've had people have big money issues or earning $5,000 a year, $6,000 a year, are now earning $50,000 a year. So, I mean, that's easy, relatively speaking. I've had people with relationship issues with who absolutely hated their partner. Now they're madly in love. I've had people who've never had a partner now with partners. So loads of things.
Fantastic.
So what I'm doing is...
Have you got any forthcoming talks that people can come to?
Yeah. Find of course. You? There's my website I have called heartfulnessnow.com that will have in the next couple of days some of the new events coming up. And I'm also doing, because I know you live in Brighton, I'm also doing a talk for the Bournemouth Yes Group, which is a phenomenal organization run by an amazing person. This is a new organization, not new to Bournemouth, but worldwide. It's massive. It's like it's the brainchild of a guy called Carl Pearson, who's worked with Tony Robbins. And that particular talk I'm doing is called Living from the Heart, which is really a very interactive seminar. So anyone who's from Bournemouth or maybe up to 2 hours away, I should say, you know, they're welcome to come along. I've sent you the link. I'm sure the link will be up there for the replay. You can go on to Heartfulness Now, and that's from as of tomorrow. That should be on the website. Or you can follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/HarunRabbani528. 528 is the frequency of unconditional love, and
so
also the frequency of Mother Earth.
It is
so,
indeed.
facebook.com/HarunRabbani528.
Fantastic. Well, that remains for me to say thank you so much, Harun, for being such a wonderful guest. I think you've given us some great leads as to how to move forward into the new year, which I hope is going to be the most incredible new year for everybody. So we say a fond farewell to 2015. And thank you very much for joining us.
So, thank you so much for having me, and farewell 2015.
Yeah, absolutely. So to all you listeners out there, stay golden.
Stay.
Namaste.